Chacham is an individual who desires, who pursues the Musar of his father. That's how Rashi understands the Pasuk. Rashi says, Mikra Kotzerhu. It's an abbreviated elliptical verse. We're really missing some words here. Rashi fills in the missing words. Continues Rashi onwards, Ben Chacham Shoa Voi Musarav. A truly wise child is someone who asks, who seeks, who loves receiving the most of the rebuke and the reprimand of his father. There are those who interpret the Shvil Musar Avo Chacham, the reason why he's a Chacham. If you see somebody today who's a Chacham, Igli Nilsen must be. The reason is because his father gave him Musar. And that's how the Vilna Gaon learns as well. Writes the Bir HaGra and Sefer Mishlei, Shemasha ben Chacham hu machmas Musar Av. If you see somebody who is wise, and we know the Rambam, when he invokes the terminology of Chacham, he most often refers to someone who's a Baal Midos Tovus. It doesn't simply mean someone who is wise. It means someone who is well-rounded and someone who displays the proper Midos, the golden middle road. That ben who's a Chacham, how did he get there? It must be, writes the Gra. It's machmas, it's because of the Musar of the Av. Sha'ovav ha'yim yasru madrichu b'derech yesharam. Lo chosach shifto b'meno. It must be that his father gave him Musar and was madrichim, guided him, put him on the right path. And he did not hold back the rod. I mean, he gave him a patch when he needed a patch. And he put him on the right path. And what's the contrast to such a ben chacham? And the opposite is the late. The one who's a scoffer, the one who mocks, who doesn't take things seriously in life. Right, Shlomo Melech, Nevelates, Voshama Gyara. If you see a scoffer, the opposite, the antithesis of a wise person, it must be that he did not hear, he did not listen to Gyara, to rebuke and chastisement from the Father. He might have had it come into his ears, but the same of Ayishma Yisro means he didn't just listen. But he mamish heard, he had paid close attention. Vayishma yisra, ma shmur shama v'ba. Shmia connotes the sense that you heard, you did something with it, you acted, and you reacted towards that message that you got. The late, the scoffer, he has not heard that rebuke, he has not heard that chastisement. So that's what the Vilna Gaon says as well. If you find later on in life that the son grows up and all he is a late, it must be because he never now listen to the chastisement of his father. Because it's a derech of a young child, nobody wants to receive that goodness until you give a musar. Had he listened to it, had he paid close attention to the musar that his father had issued, he never would have become a late. So if we see that he's a late, HaKorchach must be, LaGora V'bova Azova Lelech V'derech Libo must be, that his father allowed him to just go and did not give him the proper musar to put him on the right path. Yes?
Yeah, the last thing you said, I was about to say that it's really his father's responsibility to teach the child properly. If the child's not listening, then the father has to be a little more...
And that's right, and that's exactly it. And the father can't do it, then Shlucho Shalona Kamosa, he's got to give it over to somebody else. But the children, and there's so many studies done today without getting into the discussion of hitting children, not hitting children, but they need some regimen, they need some rules, regulations, parameters. They like having rules. They're far more productive. You go to camps, any camp where it's a hefker belt, and you just, oh, summer, do whatever you want, kids don't accomplish and they don't grow, it's not meaningful. They still need a wake-up time, and they need zmanim, misayomim, for shachrus, mechamar, for basketball, baseball. You need to have a regimen, you need to have rules and regulations. Yes?
Say it's the mother who brings up the children. She's the one who's home with the children.
Excellent. Excellent. So that's why let's go back to Mishlei
Perk.
So let's again, Avin, it's a very important concept, doesn't mean exclusively the father. The Vilna Gaon already explained back in Perk Aleph and Posuches, Shema Bini Musar Avicha, Amaltitos Torah Simecha. And the Vilna Gaon and other commentators pointed out, it doesn't mean it's the exclusive domain of the father. The mother could also give Musar. And it doesn't mean Torah Simecha. Torah doesn't mean the Torah, because a woman's not even obligated to teach the Torah to the children. That's the father's domain, Kedushin 29b. It means Torah, the instructions, the guides. Who's coaching? Who is guiding? Who is nurturing and fostering? That's the mother. But the Vilna Gaon explains it doesn't mean that's exclusively the domain of the mother. It just happens to be that it's predominantly the father who gives the Musar. And when someone's going to punish punish. Who usually does the punishing? The father. And that's here, that's why the children are naturally more afraid of the father. And when it comes to giving guidelines and instructions of the mother who does it while caressing, while doing it in a soothing, loving manner, the child's much more receptive and willing to accept those things coming from the mother. And therefore we write Musar in conjunction with the father, and we write Torah in conjunction with the mother. But of course they can go and do both. The Maharal explains in his Derech Chaim in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is called the ethics of the fathers, the saying of the chapters of the fathers. Are these people our biological fathers? Of course not. Explains the Maharal, Shlomo is telling us that you're only going to accept Musar from somebody who is a fatherly figure to you. So again, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a father, a biological father, because we know that some Tamidim are also called Banim. Pasuk says in Parshas Rei Pirkei Dalet Pasuk Aleph, and that's the very verse that Rashi brings in Parshas Veschon in chapter 6 and verse 7. Vishinanta levanach, Rashi says on the spot, Eloha Tamidim. When we know that Tamidim Kriyim Bonim, how do we know that disciples are also called children? Shinemar Bonim Atem Lashem Lokechem. So it just means that the person is a fatherly figure in your eyes. So the mother can also be that fatherly figure. It means that the one who teaches is an Av. That's why who is the first teacher in the Jewish people? First one to transmit Torah to the next generation was? Before Moshe Rabbeinu. Abraham. And notice how what? Adam Arishan is the first biological father. Adam and Chavar produced Kai and Heaven, ultimately Shais. And notice how the word Av doesn't make its way into Adam's name. Thus is not part and parcel of his core essence. He is known as Adam. Many interpretations of them offer men Adama, Adama Lakel. So much we learn from the word Adam. But who is the first person in Tanakh who has the concept of Av? Of Avis incorporated into his name? Only one is Avram Rosalovichik, writes in Family Redeemed. And the idea is because our concept of Av is not limited to the biological sense of fatherhood. Our sense of Av is in a deeper, far more profound sense, who is the fatherly figure in the child's life? Who is the one who is teaching? And the first one to teach and transmit Torah to the next generation was Avram Avinu, wasn't Adam. And thus the first one who has Av incorporated into his name, he's Avram, Av to Aram, and then he's ultimately Avraham, the Avram on Golden Satich. He is the father of the world who teaches Torah, and that's how Moshe Feinstein explains in Drash Moshe, the era, the tkuf of Torah, did not begin with Adam, it did not even begin with Noach. Noach also learned Torah. Noach, the Medrash in Vayik Rabba, makes it very clear in Parsha Beis and Os Yud. How did Noach know which animals were Tomei, which animals were Tahar? He also learned, he also bought Karbanos. He might have known Halachas, and this is Shelach, who's a big tzaddik, the one who lived Zocha to longevity 969 years. Avani he learned as well. And Shem and Eber they learned, before Avram Avinu was even from the Yedi Yeshiva, Shem and Eber. So what's the difference? Because they didn't teach it to the masses, they didn't perpetuate Torah, they weren't the Mamshich, the Torah Viter, who empowered subsequent generations to also have the ability to learn Torah. That's the first Av, and that's the fatherly figure. So in the pages of Pirkei Avos, they're certainly not our biological fathers. Why do we call it Pirkei Avos? Explains the Maharal in Derech Chayim, because you'll only be Makabel Musar from someone who is like a father to you. Only someone who cares about you and presents himself or herself as that fatherly figure, showing and exhibiting that same love, care, and concern, and that they only want what's in your best interest. Only such a person will you be interested, will the child even be receptive. So the child will get Musar from the Rebbe, but the Rebbe's not his father. If the Rebbe makes himself like enough, then the child will be receptive. But it's got to be a two-way street. In fact, let's go back quickly to that Rashi. Rashi says, Vishinat lo'anecha, you will teach your sons, which Rashi says, based on Chazal means, you will teach your Talmidim. How do I know that a Talmud is called a Ben? Pasuk says in Re'eh, Yudalet Aleph, Bonim Atzem Hashem Akechem. Then Rashi goes weiter, continues on, where Rashi says, and how do I know that a Rebbe is called an Av? And he brings three psukim, one of which is the famous Pasuk in Malachim Beis, Elisha sees Elyonavi going up to Shemayim, and the chariot of fire, and he says, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael, and my father, it wasn't his biological father, he was his Rebbe. So Rashi says, I have a Pasuk proving that a Talmud is like a son, and I have another pasuk proving that a Rebbe is like a father. Asks the Sefer HaSicha B'chukechem Bava Kama, why does Rashi need both? If Rashi cites a verse proving that a Talmud is like a son, doesn't that automatically mean the Rebbe is like a father? And coming from the other angle, if I already proved to you that Elisha calls Eliyahu Navi his father, and that means that a Rebbe could be an Av, doesn't that automatically mean that the Talmud's like a Ben? And why does Rashi have to bring verses proving on both sides of the equation? The answer, of course, is because it's got to be a two-way street. And you can have a Talmud who says, Rebbe, I want to make myself like a son to you. But if the Rebbe doesn't reciprocate accordingly, that's not going to have that unique, special relationship. And so to the Kisa, coming from the other angle, if the Rebbe goes out of his way and he makes himself like a fatherly figure to the Talmud, but the Talmud doesn't reciprocate accordingly and he doesn't make himself like a son, that's not going to work. And there always has to be that two-way street. That's an Av. An Av says, and what's the very name of? Aleph and Beis. That means this person says, I want to give over to somebody who exists outside of me. The Aleph wants to give over to a Beis. Aben says, I want to be the minion, I want to be the building block. Shema b'ni Musar b'icha. If you view the people on the pages of Perkei Avos as your figurative fathers, that they care about you, they didn't stop want to give you strict rules and regulations, they want to give you guidelines that will coach you and nurture you to become the biggest and greatest and best that you could be. Right? So the moral, it's the first thing we have to know. Before you open up the book, just know the title already is Perkei Avos. It's the chapters of the fathers. They're your fathers. They care about you. And therefore, you can open it up and you can be interested in listening. And therefore, explains Rabbi Yeshua Harman in his footnotes, what's the month of the year that we got more Musar than any other month in the history of the Jewish calendar year? The worst, most severe Musar is when? And Chodesh Av. How do you like that? Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. But we have to know that even when Hashem gives us Musar, all the Yisurin in the month of Av and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash by Yisrisha by Sheni, Chetam Raglim, you name it, the worst suffering of the Jewish people has always been in the month of Av. And how interesting, how fascinating that Hashem says at the same time that I'm hitting you, that I'm striking you so hard. What do I let you know? I'm doing your machmas, that I'm your father, that I love you more than a parent could ever love a child. And it's coming from what? Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. It's always the Av, and that's the month of Av. Not only that, but what is the greatest day going to be in the history of the world? It's going to be Tishlov, the day Mashiach is born, the ultimate Gula. Saddest day of the year, most tragic day of the year. One day will be transformed. It's the happiest day of the year. We already see that. What's the name of the day? Tisha B'Av. What do we know about Tisha? Tisha is Yeshua, Vayosha Hashem. Our salvation. Nine is, we know about seven. Seven is Shleimus, completion of the role of Teva. Eight is Lamalim and Teva. That's Shmona Osios Neshama. That's your Chilin Neshama. You're in the world of Teva, you're just above the world of Teva. Ten is Kedusha. Ten is Aser Sedibros. Ten is the Esamakis. Ten is Asorim Amoris. Ten is Kedusha. Ten is you already left this world. You're already in a whole new domain. That's why the single digits. Once you get to 10, you're in a whole new phase of existence. What's the bridge, the gesher, that unites the world of 8, Lamalam and Atefa, and the world of 10? That's a world of total Kedusha. It's a world of 9. 9 is Yeshua. Yeshua is when you go from one domain to another domain. What happens after 9 months? We said it in Echam Yodea. Tisha Yarche Leida. 9 months. It's not coincidental. Why is it Tisha? Right, the Bali Yatesis and Baba Kama Pebezim and Aleph, a Yeshua HaBen. What is a Yeshua HaBen? When the child is born, before the bris and before the naming, that's already called a Yeshua HaBen. What's that here? Because Tisha 9 represents leaving one domain and going to another one. Vayosh Hashem, what happened? We left the world of Mitzrayim and they drowned and they were destroyed and killed. And we went to a whole other world in a journey towards Matan Torah. That is Yeshua. Yeshua is a total salvation means I'm leaving one realm of existence and I'm journeying into a whole new world of existence. A child comes into the world, he's coming from the rechem, the womb of his mother. He emerges, he or she emerges into a whole new realm, a whole new dimension of life. That is called a Yeshua HaBen. And that only happens after Tisha Yarche Leida, after 9 months, as a Yeshua. What's the saddest day of the year, Tisha B'Av? And at the same time, it's already encoded into its name and thus into its core essence. It's going to be what? The greatest Yeshua on the month of Av. Even in the month where Hashem gave us Yeshua, and He always gave it to us, letting us know that it's coming from Avinu Sheshemayim. It's coming in the month of Av. And even then, it's going to be that which is necessary to give you the Yeshua. The ultimate Yeshua is going to come out of the month of Av because Mashiach is born when? On Tisha B'Av. That's going to produce the greatest Yeshua, and that is Shema B'ni Masar Avicha. And therefore, the Ben Chacham, if you see your Ben Chacham, then you know, and not only that he accepts it, but that he's Shoel, the Oheth Musar Av, Rashi says. He desires it, he's in pursuit, he loves getting the Musar. Halitz, but the one who is the scoffer and must be Igloi Milsitz revealed to us if he still maintained his sense of being Halitz, he never heard chastisement and he wasn't interested in listening to it from his father. And that's what the Gra says. A Chacham is someone who learns Torah and who learns Musar. Halitz is the exact opposite. He's not interested at all. And that's what we find in Avos Parakim Moshe Beis. Shnayin Sheyosh Ve'Emenei and Devrei Torah. And that's called what? It's called a Moshav Leitzit. If you have a place where people are sitting and they're not learning Torah, Hareza Moshav Leitzim. It is a Moshav Leitzim. So the Kotzke Rebbe explained. What does that mean, Hareza Moshav Leitzim? How was a child to have two Jews sitting down and talking, and they're not sharing any Divrei Torah? How is it shaykh? And must be, Hareza Moshav Leitzim, explained the Kotzke Rebbe, must be that this place was initially a Moshav Leitzim, and that's why it wasn't conducive to people speaking in Divrei Torah. And because Hareza Moshav Leitzim, it was initially, from the very outset, it was a Moshav Leitzim, and therefore, that people sitting there were not inspired to speak about Divrei Torah. But Leitz is the one who says, I'm not interested, I don't want to hear it, and I want to hear the Musa, I'm not interested in constructive criticism, he'll remain a scoffer for his whole life. And it's the Rabag. That's why it's crucial that a parent must start the child at a young age. Ben Chacham writes the Rabag, Hinei Yasibo Ben Shia Chacham Hu, Musa Avshik, Nei Oso Bekatanuso. He already ingrained it into him in his fledgling years. And that's what straightens and that's what enables and empowers the child to grasp wisdom. So the father has to make sure to chop him at a young age. What happened, David HaMelech? The Rabbah says that's why Adoniah ben Chogis ultimately rebelled against David HaMelech, because David says, he never told him Maduakach. He said, he never questioned him. He let his son do whatever he wanted. So even David HaMelech was held guilty. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech here is referring to, that mistake of his father. The Malbim himself echoes the theme of the Rabbah. And he says, when children are young, and they have all these different desires, and then they get Musar, and they get Musar by them, it's like thorns. But they need the Musar, to Lenakas, to purge them of all the bad thoughts, of all the bad actions. And that'll go in and put them on the right path until they are empowered to acquire wisdom in their own rights. And Ben Chacham Musarav, the Ben Musar Chacham has to make himself the recipient and search and love to get the Musar from a fatherly figure. And the Leitz is not interested at all. Now we know we had four sons, we just had a Pesach Seder, Keneged Dalet Bonim Dibra Torah, and we know the famous idea that the Rosh has still made its way to the table. We have to bring him to the table. The Baal HaTzur Rebbe used to say there's a fifth child who's not there, the one who's so assimilated, he scoffs at everything, they never even made it to the table. And at the end of the day, though, the Rosh is what? He's someone who at least says, I'm here to go ahead and listen to something. So even the Rosh can be spoken to, even the Rosh can be addressed to some degree, because at least he made his way to the table. He says that I have open ears if there's something that excites me, something that I'm interested in listening to. So that's Pasuk Aleph, Perek Gimel, and we continue with the theme of Musa. I think it is apropos, though, to connect this as well to the Parsha. Nodav and Aviv. The reason why Musar is so essential is because the grown others point out, even though the higher Madrega is Avas Hashem, as loving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you can only get to the highest levels of Ava if it's built on Yira. If you don't have Yira, you're not going to be able to get to Ava. It's always got to be a two-way street, Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It's got to be both. We mentioned on Shabbos, in the morning hour of Gedalia Shor, and his Or Gedayo in the Torah, and the Slanim Rebbe and Asima Shalom both explain that the common denominator amongst all the explanations offered to what was the precise chet of Nodav and Aviyu, the undercurrent was that it was unbridled, unchecked Avas Hashem. They were Mosef Ava Lava, writes the Medrash. They loved Hashem so much, and they went Lefnai V'Lefnim. They wanted to go Lamal V'Natava. Problem is, you got to hold yourself in check. And life is about Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and you can only be an emistic Ohev if you're all of a sudden going to be an emistic Yorei Hashem. And that's the idea, explains Rav Gedalia Shor. They wanted to go Lefnai V'Lefnim, And that means what? They just kept running in. They wanted to be Moshe Avol Avol, and Yireh would have kept them to keep, to adhere to that boundary. If you think about Matan Torah, what was Matan Torah about? Was it about Avos Hashem or Yireh Hashem? The foundation, the basis, the yisod of the formation of Klal Yisrael was, Moshe tells the Jewish people, of Avor Tiyeh, you're also Al Paneichem. And how are you going to get to Yireh Hashem? Everyone's got to stay back. Everyone's got to find his or her place. And we get to a beautiful Chedush Harit. We know Rashi's going to tell us in Mezos HaBracha that every nation was tested. Do you want the Torah? Do you not? So, Maksim Bey, what's written? So you have Yishmael and Esau, and this one is told, those sin off, you can't commit adultery, they're not interested. Lo Sirtzach, you can't kill, we're not interested. So ask the Chedush Harit. So then, oh, Hashem says, I give it to the Jewish people. And what about the test for the Jews? What's the test for the Jews?
We weren't sure that we wanted it, and
Koflaim Harkigigas.
Something will fall on us.
That's right. Shabbos Pechesim and Aleph. Hashem had it over our heads. But where is the Chazal? And where's the idea? Where does Hashem tell us? And where's Klal Yisrael saying, Maksive? Maybe we should be tested even before Hashem then forces, puts the mountain overhead. And what was our test? Explains the Chiddush Yerushalmi. You know what our test was? You know what a Jew wants to do? Jews always want to get to the top. And whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, and whether you're Talmid Chacham, Rebbe, Bechola, Jews have a desire, we want to make it to the top. And look around at the world, and that's, if you're going to be in Hollywood, Lahavdil, you're going to be at the top. You're going to be a doctor, you've got to be the best doctor, best lawyer. Jews have an insatiable desire to always want to make it to the top of their field. It's not just brilliance, and that's what they've done studies, the Asians as well. It's not necessarily the Asians, it's that they're trained with a regimen, they're disciplined, and they have a desire, they have a cheshek to want to get to the top. And then you see by Gedolei Yisrael, not all Gedolei Yisrael are necessarily the biggest Iluyim, it's the ones who work the hardest, Yagati, Matsasi, Tamim, and the ones who wanted it the most. When somebody came to visit Rav Avram Yaffin in Navarduk, and he says, tell me, who's the best guy in the yeshiva? So he walked around and says, you see that guy? He's the smartest guy. And that guy's the biggest Bali, and that guy's the biggest Bucky. And this guy has the best memory. This guy's the smartest. He says, I'm not interested in the details. Who's the number one guy? So he pointed in a corner and says, you see that person in the corner? He's the number one guy. He says, what's his name? Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky, who we ultimately got to know as the Stipler Gaon. He says, what makes him the best? He says, he's not the brightest. He's not the most brilliant, not the most precocious. And at the end of the day, you know what makes him the best? He's the biggest mevakish. He wants it the most. And at the end of the day, ein davar omid b'fnei haratzon. Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yosha Shar Yid Aleph, Hashem created Chochma, Nevesh, Madan, Seichel. And you know what's lamal mikulam chifa, it's koch haratzon. That's the ones who want it the most with there's a will, there's a way. Why is it called ratzon, right? So if hope and ali shor chelek beis, ratzon is rots. And you know who has a ratzon? Which direction are you running? You always run in the direction when you want to get something you want. Ein davar b'fnei haratzon. Who's running for it? Well, Jews are always running to the tops of mountains. We want to make it to the top. Klal Yisrael now has a vision. They get to see God like never before. We see Hashem Yisrael talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ponim aponim pepel davarbo. And what does every Jew want? Can you imagine standing in the base of Mikdash? And there's the Kohen Gadol, and he goes lefanai v'lefanim, and he goes into the holiest place in the planet, the Kodesh Kodesh, from the holiest day of the year in Yom Kippur, and he's mounted the Ketores, and he does the Avodah. Who wouldn't want to go in? I don't know. I'd love to go in. I'd love to go. You know what? I won't be the Kohen Gadol. Let me at least be a Kohen. Let me at least do the Avodah. Let me go into the Kodesh. Let me light the menorah. Terence is, if everybody would be lighting the menorah, we'd be fighting and jumping all over one another, knocking each other. Rachman al-Atzlan. What do we need? We need one person to be a Kohen Gadol. We need one group to be Kohanim, one group to be Leviim. And we need people to be Yisraelim. And we need Anashim. We need Nashim. If all the women want to be the men, and all the men want to be Leviim, and all Leviim want to be Kohanim, we're going to mess everything up. We're never going to get things done. It's the same thing in an army. If everybody wants to be in the Air Force, we're going to lose the ground war. And you need what? You need the Marines, and you need the Army, you need the Navy. You got to attack on all fronts. And that's the fabric of Klal Yisrael. You have to attack on all fronts. You need the Milah of the Anoshim, the Milah of the Anoshim. And you need the Kohanim, the Levim, the Yisraelim. You need all the Shvatim. 12 Shvatim can make it 12 months of the year. And you got to fight on all fronts. You have to have the Marines, the Air Force. And that's Klal Yisrael. It's got to be the package deal. Everyone's got to be there together and doing their job. But it's all about Sheifas. Therefore, Hashem says, Chidush Harim explains, and the test of the Jewish people was, you want to get to the top? No, you can't. This is where you stand. This is where Moshe goes. This is Yeshua, the Zakenim. This is where the animals are. This is where everybody else is. You have to know your place. And that is such a big avodah, to know our place in this world. That is our tafkid, and that's what Maimon HaSinai was. When you're establishing and creating a new Am, called Klai Yisrael, you have to know first and foremost, don't destroy the machane. Don't break the barriers. Everyone has to know, here's our position, where you stand in our Sinai, and that is the test. So none of it appeal. What do? They crossed a forbidden boundary. It was all about the neshama, and the neshama was just going. And the problem is, you need to be in control. And thus we go to the Sefer of the Torah's Kohanim. What do we find? If you take a close look at all the explanations of what the nature of their sin was, we see the common thread was lacking Yira, like the Slum Rebbe, like Rav Gedalia Shor. They went in an intoxicated state. They went in drunk. What happens when you're drunk? You're not in control. You lose all sense of boundaries, inhibitions, and you just go, Hefker, you lose that sense. You're out of control. And that's Shtuya Yayin. And number two, Mor Halacha B'Fnei Rabbo. They paskin without going to their Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. Go to your Rebbe. There's a system. There's Rebbe. There's Talmud. The Talmud can't speak up before the Rebbe. If you have a Shiloh, you go to the Rebbe. Oh, they didn't have any barrier. And they didn't get married. What's marriage all about? A woman at the end of Mishlei, we'll read about a Laman Aleph Lamed in Eishes Chayel. Isha. A Yiras Hashem Hitasalo. A woman is praised for what? Yiras Hashem. A woman has Yiras Hashem. A woman is... And the Kevah to Soviet governed circles the Chasen 7 times under the Chuppah. A Chazal explained to erect the wall around her husband. Yevamos, the bottom of 62b, Hashori below Isha, someone who is not married, is Shori below Choma, is missing a wall. Isha is called the Choma. She goes 7 times, takes 7 times encircling Yericho to bring down the walls of Yericho, takes 7 times walking around to build up the walls of Yericho. Job of the woman is, she has to build the wall around her husband. And what happens when you have walls around you? That is immobilization. That's Yira. That means you're staying put. That is Isha, Yira, Semi, Tesala. The woman provides Yira. That's Yira. Osios Arye. What happens when the lion roars? When a lion roars, you run. You retreat. That's Yira. And when you hear the lion roar, Arye, Osios, Yira, you run away. That's Rosh Hashanah that we mentioned on Shabbos. He writes in his Rav Shalom on prayer, page 167, we shuckle when we daven because that represents the duality of Ava Hashem and Yiras Hashem. What is Ava? You want to come close to someone. That's Ava. Yira is, you run away, you retreat. Ava, Yira. Ava, Yira, Ava, Yira. And that is shuckling. And that is the idea of loving Hashem and fearing Hashem at the same time. Atignus Yisocha writes at Perkevus, Perkala Mishnah Gimel. Atignus Yisocha Kiva Mehem. Ahu Aya Omer. Lo to you, Kavodim Amshamshan Sarav and Asa Kavapras. Hello, Havu Kavodim Amshamshan Sarav Shalom and Asa Kavapras. That means the Mefarshim explained, serve God not to get rewards. Serve God because you love Him, because you're all about Avos Hashem. So isn't that the highest Madrega? But they're not done speaking. What's the final line? A final line is, Vihimorah Shemayim Aleichem. And you have to have Yerushalayim. It can't just be about Ava. Avram Mina was the first one to love God like never before. He is called, thus, Mina Keneg Mina Avram Ovi. He's Avram who loves me, and Hashem loves Avram. It's that reciprocal relationship. Avram Avinu only passes all the tests of his life when what? When he displays Midas Sayira in the context of Akedah Yitzhak. And thus explains the Vilna Gaon in the Chiddush HaGra. Everybody know, Brochus HaMagimah Ben Aleph, Avram Avinu was all about Avos Hashem. But his life's job was not complete until what? Until he showed that he was able to pass Akedah Yitzhak. What was Akedah Yitzhak? And then here you have a person who loves everybody, who is all about chesed, chesed, and more chesed. And now he's being tested what? The very antithesis of what chesed is all about, which is shvichas damim. And the greatest display of shvichas damim is to kill your own son, whom you love, and to put your whole career and life on the line, that now everyone you converted, all the masses converted based on Gemilas Hazanim, they're now going to see that you're going to take out a knife and kill your very own son. And still, why was he ready to do it? Because this is Hashem being mitzvah. That is Yira. He knew how to hold himself back and hold back his weakness. That's Avin Yira, and that is Avram Yira. That's why. How do we walk away from a Akedas Yitzchak? Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov. They walk together. Why do they have to walk together? If you think about it, Yitzchak was all about Yira. And Yitzchak is about Yira. And what did he show now? And then Hashem, I love you so much, I'm giving up my life. Yitzchak, who's about Yira, is now showing Ava. Avram Avinu, who's all about Ava, is now showing Yira. Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov. Now you had what? The two of them walking together. Midas HaChesed and Midas HaDin. And Midas Ava and Yira are walking together. That's what Akedas Yitzchak, that's why it's the foundation of the Jewish people. That's why we mentioned an author of Yom Narayim. It's all about Amos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. That's what we have to achieve. Every single Elul Yom Narayim. Vayech Hashem Yachtav. It's Avram Yitzchak walking together.
But isn't there a difference between regular Yira, Yiras HaOnesh, and Yiras HaRomimus?
Yes.
The first two Yerushalayim, O nation, then comes Ahava, and then comes Yerushalayim.
And that's what the Rambam writes. So Yerushalayim, the Rambam seems to be mashma, that it's even a greater level than Ahava. Many Rishonim put it on the same level as Ahava. That's an Ahava of Yerushalayim, of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we find, notice, how in Ahava, there only is one terminology. There's Ahava Hashem. Right, Avos Abore, there's Avos Hashem. Anyone ever see or read or hear the concept Avos Shamayim? Nobody loves the sky. So why do we call it Yiras Shamayim? Ask Sof Hunner in the Pach Yitzhar. It's a great question. It's Yiras Hashem and Avos Hashem. If it's Yiras Shamayim, then let's say Avos Shamayim. The answer is there are two levels of Yira. A Yira is when you're mamish afraid. So I can't even speak about God. I can't even mention His name. I'm so afraid. It's not even Yiras Hashem. It's Yiras Shamayim. I see the Shamayim and I'm ready. I'm taken aback. A Yira, I have Yira even from the Shamayim before I even get to Yiras Hashem. That's one level. Then I have Ava. By Ava, there only is one level. It's Ava Hashem. You don't love the sky. If you love Hashem, you want to go all the way up to the highest of highest, and you love Hashem. But Yira, two different stages. As Yiras Hashem. And the Yiras Aromos, and there's Yiras Shemayim already, that Pachad, and that Emo, the Yiras Achet, and that already is a different level, clearly not on the same Adrega. So another Nevi'ah, think about it. They did, according to Chazal, they didn't get married. If they didn't get married, they didn't have Yira, because it's the woman who provides the Yira, the woman who puts up the wall. And they went and drunk, a person who's drunk has no Yira. He'll walk into the street, he's not afraid of anything, no inhibitions, and no boundaries whatsoever. And the moral club of Nirambo, they don't have to listen to discipline. They don't have to listen to the Rebbe. So now, who was the tikkun for Nadav and Avihu? When did they finally get their tikkun? When were they fixed? Anybody know?
David Habel put the Abba, the Ezra?
Even before, that's Uzzah, but Pinchas already. So, we have already Pinchas. How is the tikkun? Listen to this Zohar HaKadosh. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Why is Pinchas called the grandson of Aaron HaKohen? Why do I need to know that? All right, the Zohar HaKadosh. At the moment that he killed Cosby and Zimri, the Neshamos and Nadav and Avihu went into Pinchas, and Pinchas now was Mesakein, corrected and rectified those Neshamos and Nadav and Avihu. And Perek Elazar, chapter 47, the Yonasan Raziel and others, and when he did that amazing act, and that act of Mesiris Nevesh, he also became Eliyahu Navi in the process. How fascinating. Writes for Pinchas Levi Harowitz in the Sefer Panim Yafos, what's the Gematria of Pinchas? Gematria of Pinchas is 208. Pei Yud Nun Ches Samech. 208. 208 equals exactly Nadav Ve'aviyu Ve'Eliyahu Hanavi. Pinchas became, he had the Neshamos of Nadav and Avihu, and he became Eliyahu Navi. That is Pinchas. But now it's very Gishmak. Why? Because the Chet was they didn't have Yira. Who has Yira? Pinchas writes Ramami Pano, and Gilgul in Neshamos was a Gilgul of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, Gematria 208. Pinchas, Gematria 208. Yitzchak gives us Tfilas Mincha. Eliyahu Navi, who is Pinchas, gave us Tfilas Mincha. Brachas Davavo and Beis. Eliyahu Navi lo nene, elevat Tfilas HaMincha. And Yitzchak is the first Karban. He is Akedis Yitzchak, and Eliyahu offers the famous Karban on Har Carmel. Who is the first one to get a bris milah on day number 8? Yitzchak. Who is the Malach HaBris, who's here in every single bris? Eliyahu Navi. Who's the first bent to the first Av? We said already Avram Avinu is the first Av. Who's the first bent to the first Av? Yitzchak Avinu. And what's the main job of Eliyahu Navi? We learned in Haftar Shams HaGadol in Malachi Paragimel Pasuk Chav Gimel. Veheshev Leivavos Avonim Leivonim Alavosim. He's going to bring the Ben back to the Av. That's Eliyahu Navi. That is Pinchas, the Gilgal of Yitzchak. Pinchas 208. Yitzchak 208. Yitzchak, the only one thing missing in Yitzchak was what? His eyesight. Yitzchak went blind in the end of his days, either because of the incense of Esav's wives offering to the incense to Avodah Zarah, or the Gemara says in Megillah and the Memorish that he stared at the face of Esav HaRasha. So who's the Tikkun? Atikun is Vayar Pinchas, the very first verb. The first infinitive we encounter in conjunction with Pinchas is Vayar. He opens up his eyes. He opens up his eyes and he sees what's going on, even though everybody else in the Jewish ranks refused to see that. And what happens? Pinchas becomes Eliyahu Navi. What do we know about Eliyahu? He's invisible. What is invisibility? Nobody's eyesight can go ahead and behold you. Nobody can lay their eyes on you. And that's the Tikun. Yitzchak loses his eyesight because he looked at the face of Esau. Pinchas knows what to see and what not to see, and nobody's eyes can see Pinchas when we get to Sefer Yeshua, Perek Beis, and the two trusted spies that Yeshua sends out are who? Are Pinchas and Kolei ben Yefuna, and Rachav has to hide them. What does the pasuk say? Titzpino. It should be Titzpino. You ask Rashi in the Radak. She hid them. She didn't need to hide Pinchas because he was invisible. He was Eliyahu Navi. That's Pinchas who corrected the eyesight. Yitzchak is all about Yira. Pinchas is all about Yira. So now let's go to the Tikkun of Nodav Neviu, and it's very geschmack. Nodav Neviu didn't get married. Not only did Pinchas get married, but he gets brisker when it's all holding in to get married and have children, have continuity. Pinchas gets the gift of continuity of Kahuna. Bris Kahuna Solom, he'll have it in his family forever. So that's a Tikkun. He gets married and he has a children. What about wine? Pinchas becomes Eliyahu Navi. Which Malach drinks more wine than anybody else in the world? Who drinks the wine in every single Bris Milah? Who gets a whole cup and not have any cup? Who gets the biggest cup at the table? And the Kos Eliyahu Navi, the Hevesi. Who's drinking all? Why is he drinking wine? You ever wonder about it? Because Eliyahu Navi is the Tikkun for Nodav Neviu. Who what? Who drink wine when they weren't supposed to? Pinchas is masakin it. Becomes Eliyahu Navi. And Eliyahu Navi is the Malach who's always drinking wine. Every single Bris Milah. That's why he's flying all over the place. And he's got all the wine. He drinks the biggest cup, the Vevesi. He's drinking the wine. And what about Mor Alach B'Fnei Rabo? So the Gemara says it's an inch on the bottom of 82a. What's Vayar Pinchas? Rab says, Mara, Rab Maisim and Yuska Halacha. What is the Halacha? Habol Aram is Kanam Pogamol. If you see that the man is with a non-Jewish woman, you don't have to ask any Shilas. You can go ahead and already try and stop him. You could already kill him. So what does the Gemara say? That he went to ask Moshe Beno, what should I do? And Moshe says, it was your idea. You'd be the one to kill Cosme and Zimri. What does he have to go to Moshe? If he knew the Allah, he didn't have to go to Moshe. What does he have to go to Moshe for? If he has 90, because he's the Tikkun, and not of an Aviyu. Not of Aviyu, or Mor Alecha B'fnei Rabo. They didn't ask Moshe when they should have asked Moshe. What's the Tikkun? People, per Pinchas, who didn't need to ask Moshe, and Abba Pekin, still he went to ask Moshe. He's the Tikkun. He is the children. He gets married. He has the children. He is the one who drinks all the wine, and he is Masakinin, and he's the one who goes to ask Moshe Rabbeinu the Shaila, even when he didn't need to ask Moshe Rabbeinu the Shaila, and that's the Tikkun of Nodav Neviu. So no coincidence. Where do we read about Nodav Neviu? Parsha Shemini, which of course is the only Parsha name for a number. Only Parsha the Torah name for a number is Parsha Shemini. That is number 8. What's number 8? Going beyond the border, going beyond the boundary. Who went beyond? Nodav Neviu. What are their names? Nodav. What's Nodav? Minadav. I want to give. I want to just give. What's giving? And Rav Desha tells us, Ava is Havla Cherem. I just want to give. Nodav, I want to be Menadev. I just want to give him. Nodav, you can't have a little Yira. What's Avihu? There he is, my father, Hashem. Wait a second. Hashem is your father, but he's not your buddy. Avihu, oh, there he is. He's my, oh, no, it's a little too close for comfort. Avihu, Nodav, you got to have Yira. You got to have Yimor Shemayim Lechem. And what do they do? It's Parsha Shemini. They won Lamalim and Atzeva. And now we said in the past, as why the Torah for Shemini is the Chet of Uzzah. And what did Uzzah do when they were bringing the Aron? The Aron HaKodesh, Yoron HaEdus, was on the wagon. They were taken up to Yerushalayim. And what happens is the wagon starts to shake. It looks like the Aron's going to fall off. And Uzzah reaches out his hand to save the Aron. And he gets, Uzzah, what do you think is going on? I love the Aron. The Aron can't fall Uzzah. Uzzah, Lashon Azus. Azus, a little bit of too much audacity. Too much what's a Uzzah. The Torah doesn't need you to support it. The Aron is no seis, no saw. The Aron carries those people who seemingly are carrying it. Uzzah, you're not saving the Torah. You're not rescuing the Torah. Torah lifts you up. You don't need it. Uzzah gets punished. What did he do? Shemini. That's not Torah. Pas Shemini, because he went beyond the Gbul. He went beyond the border. Notice in the first few Pesukim of Torah, tells me 3 times his father's name. His father does absolutely nothing in the story. Anybody know offhand the father of Uzzah? Avi Nodav. He doesn't do anything in the story. Why do I need to know his name? Avi Nodav. Nodav Aviyu. It's the same chet as Nodav and Aviyu all over again. That's Avi Nodav. Nodav and Aviyu. He's reaching beyond the border. He's Shemini. He's Lamal and Atzeva. Uzzah is spelled in the beginning of Torah. You'll take a look. Actual ways, he's spelled Ayin Zayin Aleph. Ayin Zayin Aleph is a gematria 78. What happens though after he sins? His name is changed. I didn't see any Mefarshim who explain why. After he reaches out his hand and he does the Avera, his name henceforth is Ayin Zayin He. Not Ayin Zayin Aleph. Now they sound alike. Uzza Uzza. Why the change? Perhaps because the new name has the gematria Imakolel of Nadav and Aviv. It's the chet of Nadav and Aviv all over again. That's what it is. Azus. and just going it, there need to be boundaries and there need to be limitations. When's the next time I have a parsha that makes clear reference to Nadav and Avihu? The only other one, we laid it, Menchatam and Yom Kippur. And we laid Yom Kippur, the Misa of Nadav and Avihu. Acharimos, Shnei B'nei Aaron. Makarvos, Som L'Bnei Hashem, Ayamusu. Anyone know how many psukim are in Acharimos? And you guessed it, 80 psukim. 2 times we talk about Nadav and Avihu. Parsha Shmini, the only Parsha need for a number. Hashmini, 8, L'malam and Atzeva. The only other time we make mention to their death is what? Parshas Acharimos. 80 psukim and achrimos b'nei Aaron. That's 80. It's all about l'malam and atzeva. How many psukim, by the way, in Parsha Shemini? 91 is gematria heichal Hashem. They wanted to go into the heichal Hashem, even though they weren't supposed to. They went to l'malam and atzeva. And you need to have boundaries. You need to be limited by yira. And that was the chet of Nodav. They just wanted to be menadev. You need to be bound up. Restrictions. That's why Ben Chochem, he can learn all the Torah. He can learn the v'chulei, but you need to be makabel musar, because yira holds you in check. And you can have avob, you need to get married, Yisha Yiras Hashem, so that the woman can provide the yira. And that's the ultimate relationship with God, to have the dual relationship of Avos Hashem combined and with Yiras Hashem. And that's why Avram Vino's job was done after Kedesh Yitzchak. He has no more big job in the pages of the Torah, because once he had the ultimate Ohev Hashem, now he's Ati Yadati Kirish and Kim Ata, Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Now you got the package deal. Now you're good to go. And that's why in the Berachos HaChodesh that we just had this past Shabbos, Yehi Ratzon, what are we daven for? And we daven for Avos HaTaira, Havir Shemayim, and we daven for loving the Torah. It's another way of loving Hashem. Hashem is Kol Shmosov, Shekosh, that is the Torah. And we ask for Yer Shemayim, Yer Eschait. And what do we want? We want the Yer Shemayim, Yer Eschait. And we want the Yer, we want all the Yeris HaOnesh, Yeris HaRongos, the Avos HaTaira, and the Avos Hashem. Then we're ready to go into the Chodesh. Yes. Exactly. And just love. And just believe in Yashkom. And just love, love, love. And need to be boundaries. That's why what's real chayrus? How we said this? A reyotiv. And what is real freedom? Rabbi Shimon Levi tells us in the page of Perek Yalos, Perek Vav, a Mishnah Beis, Ein lecha ben chorin el amisha osik b'torah, al tikri chorus aluchas el chayrus. Real freedom is someone who learns the Torah. No coincidence. What is the drasha? Is based on the word chayrus. Ches, reish, Avav Saf. What's Gematria? 614. Emma Kola, you can be one of the Gematrias. 613. What's Rio Cheirus? Cheirus is the 613 mitzvahs. Because, same way when you go on vacation, a person goes on vacation, I say you can go to the Bahamas, go to the Caribbean, you can sit on the beach for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. After a few days already, you're going to Meshuggah. Alright, you gotta have something to do. How people need structure. People only accomplish when they have structure. You need an itinerary. You need to know. You get up in the morning. This is what Torah gives us, the Seder. And it guides us and coaches us from the second we get up in the morning till the second we start with the Modani and we finish with Kriya Shema Lamita. Everything we do in life is governed, but that's real freedom. Real freedom is, even without me having to make the decisions, just going with the decision-making process of the Torah, I'm guided, I'm coached, and that's real freedom. It tells us how to control our lust, greeds, and desires, how to function, and maximum output, maximum capacity, and that's real freedom, and that's real Chayrus. And that's why, who takes us out of a Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu takes us out of Mitzrayim. Writes the Rokeach and Simon Reis Adivav. Writes the Sefer Kon and Simon Yabez. Writes the Megal Mukasov and Kufi Gimel. What do you think the Gematria of Moshe Rabbeinu is? 613. Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu take us out of Mitzrayim or one yontif? Pesach. What's the Gematria of Pesach? I know it's not 613, but that's because you're not reading the whole word. Remember, Pesach is, you gotta open things up. Pesach, open up the word Pesach. Open up, write out the word, the letters Pei, Samech, Samech Mem Chav, and Ches, Ches Yud Sof, and what do you get? Gematria 613. Alright, for part of the Yavis Benchas Lehiharwas, you open up the word Pesach, 613. Moshe Rabbeinu took us out, and the end of Pesach is Gematria 613. He took us into freedom. Cheirus, Emak Kolel, 613. That's real freedom. It's Moshe as Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Rebbe who gave us the Musa, the Rebbe who gave us the Torah. That's the ultimate Ben Chorin. And that's why we connect right to Torah. I mean, pre-pi'ish yochel tov. From the fruits of a man's speech, of a man's mouth, that's how you eat good. What are we talking about? Rashi says, you'll get all the tov in olam hazeh, and you'll get the keren in olam haba. From what? From the Torah that you learn. That's what it means. Pesach, open up your mouth in the end of a Pesach. But what? To speak words of Torah. See, we're going to have the fruits of man's speech, and that's how a person's going to eat good, well. The nefesh bodim chamas, but the chefetz, the rotzon, bodim of the faithless ones, of the ones who are bogate, who rebel against God. Is chamas is all about violence, is all about stealing and thievery, or as the Gross says, we're talking about bogdim yochla chamas shemapir, chamas devarim, is violent talk, it's nivul peh, it's destructive, deceptive talk, and that's what the chefetz of the faithless ones is all about. That's the contrast to priish. Ish is lashon of tzidkus, and the fruits of the words that come out of a man who is a tzaddik, that person is going to eat Torah, they're learning Torah, they're using the mouth correctly, but the desire of the faithless ones is all about thievery and violence, v'chulei. So notes are pim shomer nafsho, someone who guards his mouth is guarding his soul, poshek sfasim echitalo, but someone who opens up his lips wide, that's going to be his ruin, that's going to be his downfall. All right, it's the Malbim. Notice the transition, the shift from piv to sfasov. What do we have? The mouth that highlights the inner mouth. And then we have the lips. The lips, language. All the matters of speech in the world are called safa. Safa, language, because it all comes from the svasayim. However, we, akam, we're called what? We're lashon hakodesh, and it comes from within. It comes from the mouth. All right, the Malbim, guard, you have to guard that which is deep inside, and that's guarding your neshama. But don't open wide even the lips, because even the lips, that's going to go into be the room. You have to guard what comes out from the inside of your mouth, and to be ever cautious on not opening up your mouth too wide, and not saying too much. And that's notes of piv, that's nitzor l'shoncha, meiros v'sechem adav mirma, always guarding your lips, and making sure, even if you have good things to say, not to say too much. In fact, we were hosting Rameir Govuch the Friday night in our house, and he was telling me how Rosh Hashanah told him that years ago the son of the Chafetz Chaim at the end of his life moved to Eretz Yisrael and lived in Shaarei Chesed, right next to where our apartment is today, right in between my parents and our apartment. That's where the son of the Chafetz Chaim lived. But there was a few days went by, and Rosh Hashanah said nobody saw the son of the Chafetz Chaim in Shul. And Rosh Hashanah sent after him, find out what's wrong with it. And they found out that he had left Shaarei Chesed without telling anybody, and he went to move to Yafo. And he lived the rest of his life in Yafo. So someone said, send after him. Why in the world did he leave? And he didn't tell anyone. So they caught up with him, and he said, because there was a machlokas at the time in Shaarei Chesed, he says, and my father, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, told me that anytime people are speaking Lashon Hara in your community, if there's machlokas, run as far away as you can. And there was a machlokas at the time, and he ran away to Yafo, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. And he lived, mamash, you know, by himself, and because that's machlokas, you have to run away from machlokas. And he told me as well that Rosh Hashanah told him that there were three people who were three Gedolei Yisrael who are not known today, but three of the biggest Iluim, three of the most brilliant minds in Rosh Hashanah Orbach's time. He says the world never heard about them because they never went on to become Gedolei Yisrael. And he says, you know why? Because they went and made machlokas between Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld and Rav Kook. And they got involved and they made a machlokas. And he says, because of that, Rosh Hashanah told him, that's why we never heard about them. Because you'll never be successful if you're involved in machlokas. They never have that siyata d'shmaya. And that's how far away we have to stay in guarding ourselves. And the Chafetz Chaim, when he went, everyone saw that video. You probably saw 50, 60, 70 times already. The Chafetz Chaim, 1923. Here you have a picture of walking the Chafetz Chaim. And you see him walking in to the good at that convention. And somebody, I had somebody come over to me at a wedding recently, a rabbi. Somebody, Rabbi Feinberg, how many times did you see it? I said, what are you talking about? He says, come on, it. How many times did you see it already? I said, oh, the Chafetz Chaim video. He says, yeah. I said, I don't know, 50, 60 times. He says, I'm already way over 100. He says, those 13 seconds of watching the Chafetz Chaim walk, just watching his bottom. I have a picture of my house now. I have a picture from the video and my office. How can you see the Chafetz Chaim, the great? I don't know, a picture, 1923. The Chafetz Chaim went to that convention. And the Chafetz Chaim went to that convention when somebody got up and started publicly to knock Rav Kook. After traveling all the way to the convention, the Chafetz Chaim says, I spent my entire life never speaking a word of Lashon Hara or hearing Lashon Hara. I'm not coming here to Vienna to hear Lashon Hara about Rav Kook. And he walked out and he left the conference. He says, you'll never be successful. Whatever people feel ashkafically, Keep the mouth shut. Don't make machlokes. Don't speak lashon hara. You will not get siyata to dishmaya. For now, machlokes. Notes of pir shomer nafsho, and that's the real way to guard your nefesh. The Malbim says, don't just guard the words that escape. Go and guard deep where it's coming from. And if you open up your mouth too wide, then all of you is going to go ahead and be yerun. And that's how we have to be so makbid on the words, especially yatim of Pesach, which is all about Pesach, opening up the mouth and all about speaking mechulei. That's where we have to exercise more caution than ever. And the same way that Hashem says, the Zohar tells us that when we came out of time, the dibur of Hashem was freed, and now Hashem spoke to us. And then we go to a midbar where Hashem is medaber to us, the aseres hadibros. It's all about what? If you want to keep it and you want to safeguard it, it's got to be guard the words that come out of your mouth. You got to guard the pen. That's the galus of the Chavetz Chaim, Yisha Chavetz Chaim, the Tzor L'shon Chameiro, which was Zohar to Siyat HaRishmaya, to guard our lips, to have the Yira. And the girl writes in his Igeres Agro, and the same way we said the story of Yitzchak Pettenberger coming to a Chaim Bullet in a dream and telling him that in Shemaya, they only gave him permission to reveal three things. Number one, the Omer Kadin, the profundity of the judgment in Shemaya is beyond our human comprehension. We cannot believe what happens in based in Shemaya. Number two, those who are forgiving to others, Hashem is forgiving to them. If you want to have time, if you want to go through life having feelings of vengeance and holding grudges, not only do psychologists tell us you will not be happy, because no one's happy, hale and healthy, living life, holding, bearing grudges, but if you forgive other people, even though they're not deserving of forgiveness, Hashem says, even though you might not be deserving of it, I'm going to forgive you. And number three, the sins of the tongue are the worst of all. Sins of the tongue, because that's the mensch, the ruach, the malah, the speaking spirit. Pesach is, you became a new nation, a new people. It's all about what? Bris Mila, guard the peh tachton, and Mila, the words that come out of our peh elyon. That's why it's Pesach, it's all about the mouth. That's why if you guard your mouth, then I'm going to open up my mouth, Hashem says, and give you the aseres hadibros. In the midbar, I'll be midaber, those debros, which only if you guard your tongue. And that's why Hashem only took his hand of Mitzrayim, right? The Yalkut Shimoni, because we didn't speak Lashon Hara. That means you could be Ovid of Avodah Zarah. You could be holding in the Memtes Shari Tumah, but if you don't speak Lashon Hara, Hashem says, I'll take you out and I'll give you a Yeshua, and I'll give you the Sarsen Deres Vishma Zaycha. Stay away from Achleika, stay away from Lashon Hara, and be ultimately the Chacham who accepts the rebuke and the constructive criticism to become the Chachamim and Tzadikim that we are capable of becoming. Have a wonderful day. Nefesh.